Glory to God. Hallelujah. Good evening, class.
Good evening.
Let's see. Okay, where are we? Scripture I want to start with. We will pray and get started. Father, we thank you and we praise you and give you glory. We thank you that you open eyes that we see, our ears that we hear, and give us a heart to understand. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen. We're going to take these fivefold ministry gifts that we've covered, all of them, and we're going to sort of tie them in together and see what holds them together and how they operate as a unit. These fivefold ministry gifts, the apostle, the prophet, evangelist, pastors, and teachers, it's one unit. And that's why he gave it to us that way. And we can call them, the fivefold ministry gifts, the fivefold ministry graces. It's just like, you know, my hand, you see me look at my hand, and I got five fingers on my hand. So those fingers consist of the hand. So that's where the gifts should be operating, and they should be operating as a unit. And since we've covered all the gifts, one of the things that holds these gifts together is the honor. One of the reasons we are calling this class the culture of honor. Because honor is basically the hardware that bolts all these units together. So we have to begin to honor each other, honor the gifts that God has given to us in order for us to operate the way God set it up. It's like a funnel. Most of us have either seen a funnel, used a funnel. We take funnels and we put transmission fluid in cars. We use funnel in the kitchen to pour large amounts of things into small quantities of things. So God pour his power into this funnel so it can be passed down through the individual gifts into the body of Christ and imparted to you. It's a relationship in which the flow continues as we learn to recognize these God-given roles and anointings. They are God-given, as we see in 1 Corinthians 12 and 28, where it's saying God has given us apostles. God has set. God himself did it. He said, I set first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers. After that, then he talks about healings and gifts of healings and helps and governments. And so God set this up, and that's where it's a flow, where God set it up. And when we operate according, it releases people to operate in them and receive what they have to give. So these gifts are given to the body of Christ. And as they're given to us, we learn to operate in them. We learn to receive them as gifts. As those gifts, every member in the body of Christ. And so we can go back and one of my favorite scriptures, all of them are my favorites. So I just take one, Matthew 10 and 41, where it says, he that receive a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward, and he that receive a righteous man in the name of a right. So we have to begin to receive those gifts, those God-given gifts, the way God give them to us. And when we receive them as such, then we receive what they have to impart to us. What we acknowledge them as an apostle. We know apostles are hearing from heaven, and as he's hearing from heaven, whatever comes out of his mouth, I receive it as such. And then I can operate accordingly. Same thing with a prophet, same thing with a righteous person. God anoints a person, and his spirit in the rest of the team creates a corporate witness that acknowledges God's anointing and receives the person in his or her role. And this is where he operates. Turn to Numbers. Chapter 11, I go to this one and see the scripture. Numbers Numbers chapter 11. And I begin to read at verse 11. I just read through it. I'll tell you what, I begin to read it. I like verse 10. I read verse 10. It said, "Then Moses heard the people weep throughout their families, every man in the door of his tent. And the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly, and Moses was also displeased. And Moses said unto the Lord, Wherefore has thou afflicted thy servant, and wherefore have I not found favor in thy sight, that thou layest the burden of all this people up on me? Have I conceived all this people? Have I begotten them, that thou shouldest say unto me, Carry them in thy bosom, as a nursing father beareth the suckling child, unto the land which thou swearest unto thy father?" Verse 13 says, "When shall I have flesh to give unto all this people? For they weep unto me, saying, Give us flesh that we may eat. I am not able to bear all this people alone, because it is too heavy for me. And if thou deal thus with me, kill me, I pray thee, out of hand, if I have found favor in thy sight, and let me not see my wretchedness." Verse 16 and the next couple of verses where I want to just pick out from. "And the Lord said unto Moses," he says, "Gather unto me 70 men of elders of Israel, whom thou knowest to be the elders of the people, and officers over them, and bring them unto the tabernacle of the congregation, that they may stand there with thee." This is the Lord talking to Moses. "And the Lord said," and the Lord said, "And I will come down and talk with thee there, and I will take of the spirit which is up on thee, and I will put it up on them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, that thou bearest itself, that it not thyself alone." So what God said to Moses, he said, I mean, God can't say it, "I'm going to come down and I'm going to take my spirit and I'm going to put it up on you, on them." But he didn't say that. He said, "I'm going to take the spirit that is up on Moses and I'm going to put that spirit up on all those people that I put under you, that ones that I've told you to lead." So that's when we can go back and look where we are right now as an apostolic apostle we have in our house. So what God does, he takes the spirit that's on our apostle and he put it up on us. And so whatever burden that God has given to him, we can also help him to carry that same burden. And so God said, you know, God said in Malachi, it's the word of God says, "I'm God and I change not." So if he did it back then that way, he's doing the same thing today. He's called people, he called men. And he takes men, he anoints them, he give him their spirit, he give them God-given names, he give them assignments. And then when he take those assignments and he give them to individuals, and those assignments, he need other people to help him to carry out the assignment that God has given to him. Throughout scripture, we go in through scripture and we find out as God called men to carry out his will in the earth realm. And when he called out his will, then that man calls other men to help him to carry out that vision. I call it a vision that God has given to him. That, for instance, the Word Like Christian Center vision. And the vision of Word Like Christian Center is the changing the lives of people with the Word of God. That's what we do here. Take the Word of God and we change the lives of people with the Word of God. We equip the body of Christ to evangelize the world. So as we go out, we carry this vision. But the apostle himself cannot carry this vision by himself. All the things that has to be done. So he had to call individuals in and train them to carry out the vision. So then other men, pastors, for instance, should also be under that covering, which God called. That's a vision. So all the LTMA pastors that's under this umbrella, God said, "I put it in Apostle Leroy Thompson," then every pastor, every minister that's assigned to Leroy Thompson Ministerial Association, a Lord Lighting the Torches of ministry around the world. He does the exact same thing. He takes the spirit that's up on him and he imparts it to these gifts. Some of them may be pastors, some of them may be teachers, some of them may be evangelists, some of them may be prophets, but the same spirit, there's an umbrella here. That's God's government. That's the way he set it up. And when he set it up that way, then he is operating accordingly. And when we all acknowledge each one of those gifts, the apostle have to acknowledge the prophet. He have to acknowledge the teacher. He have to acknowledge the evangelist. And he also have to acknowledge the pastor. And so there's a unity that works there. And when it works together in unity, then what God has designed for that organization, that entity, then it can manifest itself in the earth realm. We are re-implementing God's government in the church realm through apostolic government, through the apostle, through the prophets. And as we know, if we go back and look at Ephesians 19 and 20, where it said it's built up on the foundation. That's a foundation that has to be established on that foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. And so, again, it's God's government. He sets it up. He calls men into it. And then all those who acknowledge that government, acknowledge that God's power or God's anointing in that individual, receives the anointing that's on his life. Only acts of honor such as these can establish and sustain these relationship. So the men that come out and sit and listen to apostle impart to them, they acknowledge that he is an apostle. They honor that. He honors them by knowing that they are coming to sit and he has something to impart to them. The fivefold design for leadership is a team design. It's not a one-man show. It's a team design. So when the team is working in unity, I notice, you know, God, many things God does as it's not just one. If you think about the Father, you think about the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. You think about how we are built. We are built as we are spirit. We have a soul and we live in a body. That's we're a tri-type being, just like the Holy Spirit. So when he built this, it's a tri-type being. This one is a five-fold type being. So, and they all work together. It's a design that God set up himself. We notice that when they gave it to us in Ephesians 4 and 11, it said Jesus, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. And then he gave us the objective of that particular fivefold ministry for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, until we all come into the unity of the faith and of knowledge of the Son of God, unto a mature, a perfect man, until the fullness of the stature of Christ Jesus. So the design was set up, the government was set up for a specific purpose, and that purpose is when they work together, then the purpose is achieved, is carried out what God designed it for. These diverse anointings each contribute something entirely unique to the project of bringing heaven to earth. And that's the main thing that we, you know, the whole process. Matthew 6 and 9, where it says, and at our Father's prayer, and it says, "Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." All that's part of this design. That's for the working of this design to bring heaven to earth. So when we talk earlier, when we discuss specifically the apostles and the prophet, we say the apostles and the prophet is always looking to heaven. Always. That's their design, is looking to heaven and finding out what heaven wants here in the earth realm. They are spending their time in Acts 6 and 6 and 9. It's and we will spend our time in prayer and in ministering the word. So they spend their time in prayer, seeking God. So find out what God wants here at this particular time, what he wants here on the earth, what he want to impart to the people. And then he brings that and imparts to the people. These diverse anointings each contribute something entirely unique to the project of bringing heaven to earth. And this requires an honoring and undemocratic attitude. It's not like a democracy. It's not a voting thing. If God says it, you know, it's a theocracy. And, you know, there should be one man in charge. And when God speaks it, then he brings it and imparts it to the rest of the people who are in that group. And then that's the word that they are operating under. So it says that, you know, if you hear word, it's a word from God, and then that word is not going to return to him void, but it's going to prosper in the thing where until he sent it. And so, it's not, we don't vote on this. And that's where many in the body of Christ, we lost our power because we set up governments in the church where we, you know, when the man of God wants a project done, the whole congregation have to vote on that project. And then many times that project never gets accomplished because of the votes, you know, individual. So, you know, this is not, it's not a democracy. The body of Christ should be, you know, God is in charge, and then he put people in charge to carry out his will here in the earth realm. It's undemocratic attitude that says that they have something that I don't have and I need what they have. So if we all operating together, we all have something. They have something that I don't have and I need what they have. The apostle needs the prophet. He needs, when he gives something out, the apostle needs a prophet to go out and minister and tell how God said it, and so the people can receive it. He needs teachers to explain those things that he says to the people. He need pastor to shepherd those people. He need evangelists to bring the unsaved into the kingdom, the ones who don't know Jesus yet. He need them. So it's all working together as one unit to build up the kingdom, to edify the kingdom. And that's the whole purpose, to building up the kingdom. When fivefold leaders model this kind of honor amongst themselves, then the equipping of the saints become a matter of extending honor by releasing every individual believer into his or her unique identity and destiny. So each one of us, if we are operating accordingly, we all have a destiny. God has given every believer a particular destiny, and we all have one. Go back, think about Jeremiah 29 and 11. God says, "For I know the thoughts and plans that I have for you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to bring you to an expected end." So we all got a destiny. And so the purpose of these fivefold ministry gifts is to help each individual believer to receive their destiny. See, God said, "I set this thing up, and if everybody working accordingly, then I know how we're going to achieve your destiny." A couple other scriptures that go along with that. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 1. And this is how God feels about us, and he feels about each one of us. We did it on the prophet, but this is how this a principle here set up, and this is how God thinks about each one of us. And verse Jeremiah 1 and 5, and God said, "Before I formed thee in the belly." He was talking about Jeremiah here, but he also can think he's talking about you, each one of us, when he said this. He said, "Before I formed thee in the belly," he said, "I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and I ordained thee." At that time, he said a prophet. He called Jeremiah a prophet. But it could be any gifts that God has assigned to you. Every believer has a particular gift in them. And because they have those gifts in there, God knows who you was going to be. Now, it's up to us whether we achieve those gifts. It's like when we say Jesus, when Jesus came, everything that we need, God has already provided for us. But it's up to us whether we receive those gifts or whether we receive what God has already blessed us with. For instance, in John, where he says that he said that as many as receive him, to them he give the power to become sons of God. We got the power to become sons of God, but whether we become sons of God is up on us. God has given us a choice, and we are to choose whether we're going to become like God says we're going to become, or we're going to become like, you know, just pass our way through here and waste the gifts that God has given to us, so we can mature in the things of God and operate the way he set it up. Let's turn over to John, another scripture. I like John chapter 15. And so show you how God thinks about each one of us. John chapter 15, and as I was preparing for the lesson, he would come up and he would give me, you know, scriptures. He said, now, you know, I never try to instruct you without giving you some foundation or some word. As our apostle so avidly ministered last week about so then faith coming by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so when our faith is built up on what God has said, our faith is always, we're going to have faith for the things of the kingdom. It must be on what God has said in his word. You can have natural faith, but we're talking about the spiritual faith where we can have victory in every situation. Here in, so one of the basic scriptures, good scripture he gave me was John 3:16, where he says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes, that's how he thinks of us, that whosoever believeth them shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So now, you know, every person that's come into this world has a chance to have eternal life. But do we all have eternal life? All of us do not choose to believe in his son. So then they waste that gifts. And so same thing, we as believers can waste that gift. So here in another one, Jeremiah 1:5, Jeremiah 29:11. I always like Jeremiah 29 because I've used that scripture and got many manifestations in my life when the enemy come or God has promised me something. I desired something myself. And if I desire something, he given me that word. And so I can go back and I can tell him, you know, he said, for I know the thoughts I have for you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to bring you to. I said, Lord, you have an expected end for me. And, you know, if I desire that end to get to it, then it's up to you to get me to that end. So, Jeremiah, and so, you know, let's make that our meditation scripture for that this week. Jeremiah 29:11. We can go in and look at it, and then we're going to go back to John. Let's just look at it so we can see it. Underline it, highlight it, meditate it. He said, Jeremiah 29, he said, for I know, God said, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, said the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. So he has an expected end. And so when we start talking about this culture of honor, and we talk about God's government, he said, and of his peace there shall be no end, where there's nothing missing and nothing is broken in your life. So if nothing is missing and nothing is broken, then that means everything is going along just like you want it. And so that's 29:11, that peace he's talking about. So the scripture I was going to was over in John chapter 15, and how God thinks about it. Us. Here's Jesus. And like I said, we can take the scripture, and when we read it, we can apply it to ourselves. Our apostle told us when we read the scriptures, to see the scripture are telling you about who you are. And because it's telling you about who you are, then you can take the scripture and you can apply it to yourself. So here in John 15:16, God said, you have not chosen me. See, he said, you didn't choose me, but God said, I chose you. You know, and I brought you into this kingdom. It was my idea to bring you into this kingdom. He said, but He said, you haven't chosen me, but I've chosen you. He said, and I've ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit shall remain, that whatsoever you should ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. At this time, he's talking to the apostles whom he had chosen, but he also is talking to every believer who believes in him. He said, you know, the things that God has for us, he said, you didn't choose those things for you. He said, I chose them for you. All these blessings. That's why he can say in his word, he said, every promise of God is yea and amen to him that believeth. I am a believer. I came into the kingdom by believing. I came into the kingdom by confessing and believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, believing that God raised him from the dead. And that's how I came into the kingdom. And since I am a believer, every promise, if I go through here and I see something in this Bible, and God has promised it to me, like this particular passage of scripture. Right? Now, you know, we can say, I didn't choose them. I didn't choose to be a Christian. God chose me to be a Christian. And not only did he choose me to be a Christian, he said, but he said, I chose you and I ordained you to receive the blessings that I provided for you. It's nothing. And again, Ephesians 2:8 again. He said, you're saved by grace. That's a free gift. See, that's something that, I give it to you. He said, but you receive it by faith. He said, you know, and what did you do to a gift? You receive a gift. You know, you don't have to do anything for it. Somebody walk up to you. If you got your Christmas presents, they walked up to you and they say, I bought you these gifts and I give them to you. This is your Christmas present. And so you receive them. Some of us use them. Some of us don't. Some of us want to return them. But they are still gifts. They came from somebody. So God said, I've given you these gifts. They are specifically for you. And so in this case, he said that you shall go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit shall remain. Whatever fruit you bring forth, it shall remain. And that whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. And so I just wanted to show you that God, for every believer that has come into the kingdom, that accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, God is thinking of us. He's, you know, we're thinking of ourselves, but God is thinking more of us than we can ever think of us. You know, if he thought of me before I existed, before I was formed in my mother's womb, that means he was thinking about me before I was even conceived. So if I know that he's thinking that much about me, then I'm going to do what I can to make sure that whatever he asks to do, I can do that for me. You know, little things just come up in your spirit. You know, he say, if you delight yourself in me, he say, I give you the desires of your heart. See, I mean, you know, little things like that, you know, it makes all the difference it makes all the difference in the world. So what I'm going to do, rather than, you know, if I have some desires, then I'm going to do my best to delight myself in him. So he's, you know, because my desire, he probably put those desires in my heart in the first place. And since he put them there, then he said, all you got to do, if you want them, just delight yourself in me and I will give them unto you. And so that, like I say, that's those things that God has given to us to operate in this kingdom. Honor empowers people. And so this honor that we're talking about, we're honoring these gifts. We honor these fivefold ministry gifts. It is time for everyone in the church to begin honoring those with fivefold anointings. And again, we know what those fivefold anointings are about. And many of us, and, you know, I can say probably about 90% of the body of Christ do not understand why God give us these fivefold ministry gifts to operate according. Turn back to Ephesians chapter 4, and let's see again. Let's read them and see what he's talking about. But like I say, many of us. And so basically what we're doing when we go to the church, we are going through the motions of holding church. And, you know, where we go, we should be the church. You know, they go to a building, and the buildings that we go, we have ceremonies. And the ceremony is no more, has no more power, no more in it than going to a fraternity meeting. So it's the same thing, same difference if we are operating. But God has given us this ability. He's given us this power. He's given us this authority to operate in the kingdom and have victory in every situation. Anything that we come against us, any life situation that come against us, we can have victory over that situation. God has granted us that. He's given us that. He's thought of enough of that. And not only did he think enough of it, he sent his only begotten son that we can receive that. You know, he let his son die on the cross, that everybody who believe in him can have that, have victory in every situation. So again, in Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to look at it and read it so we can have faith for it. 4:11, again, and he gave some apostles, that's these fivefold ministry gifts. He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers. He put a semicolon here so that that doesn't stop there. He want to go on and tell you why he gave. If he put them in a group, he didn't say I gave just one. He gave us these fivefold. It was all as one group. He said for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, to build the body of Christ. That's that evangelist. You go out and bring people into the kingdom who are still in darkness, to bring them into the kingdom. He said, for the edifying of the body. And then he said, until we all, the whole body comes into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And again, you know, we who are in the body of Christ, we come into the kingdom, we get saved. And when we get saved, we think we can, we get a few words on our belt, a few scriptures on our belt. And we think God has called us out to go and open up a church because I got two or three scriptures under my belt. But God want us to go out, and he want us, and everywhere I see, you know, when God sends someone out, he always puts somebody in there to train them so they can operate in the kingdom. That was, you know, even Jesus had to be trained how to operate in the kingdom. When he went out, he thought he had got the word from God, but he had to go back and sit under his parents. He went out when he was 12, but from the time he was 12 till he was 30, 18 years, he had to go back and sit under his parents and submit to them so he could be trained how to operate in the kingdom. Here it is, Paul, the great apostle Paul. You know, he was called, he was knocked off his donkey, and he went out there, he saw the light from heaven, he was spoken to. But he had to go into that Arabian desert for 14 years so the Spirit of God could reveal to him about the kingdom. We think after 6 months we've been called, we got a few words, a few scriptures under our belt, then we can go out and lead people and train people and teach people. But we need to be trained how to operate in the kingdom. That's why we, you know, when we see the world system, they poke fun at the body of Christ. You know, but it's coming to a time they're not going to be able to point fun at us anymore because we know what we are doing in the kingdom. We understand what God has called us to be in this kingdom. And so they're going to begin to see manifestation, and they're going to want to know what they are doing, you know, and they're going to want to come to us because we got the answers. You know, the world system do not have the answers. I see what they're doing now. They don't even know where to go to get the answers from. But they, you know, they need to come to us, and we can give them some answers for the situation that they are going to right now. And so you say, right on through. Teach all come into the unity of the faith, verse 13, of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, into a perfect man, into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, make an increase of the body into the edifying of itself in love. So every part of the body is operating to edify and build up the body. Not just apostles, not just the prophets, but every part of the body has a role to play in this body. We are all part of the body. When you go back and look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and God began to explain about the body, and he talks about the eye, he talks about the ear, and he talks about the various parts of the natural body. But this is the spiritual body that he's talking about. And what we found out is that God himself placed every member in the body according to the way he sees fit. God does that. You know, when he put the eye up here, he put the eye up here because that's where he saw fit to put the eye. The same thing with the nose, same thing with the ear, same thing with your arms and your legs. God did this. He designed this system. And he said, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. All the cells in our body, all the organs in our body, God himself did that. They it for a specific purpose. So he knew exactly what he was doing. So same thing with the spiritual body. He did the same thing. He designed it, and he tell us how it operates. And so a few more pointers here. As we do those things, we honor the Pharaoh's gift, and we call them by their right, each other with the right name. As we do these things that are out of joint, the things that are out of joint will be restored to their rightful place. And the hookup to the flow of funnel will begin to flow. That hookup, that funnel where the power flows through, will begin to operate accordingly. And again, we'll begin to see those signs and those wonders and those miracles operating in the body of Christ. Honor has fallen on hard times in our culture. You know, the congregation, you know, basically do not honor the pastor. You know, they see him coming down the road, and they say, there go Reb, but here come Reb. And see, that's to me, that's total dishonor. You know, he's your pastor, and he has your word in his mouth. And if you honor him properly, you know, you're going to get your answer. But when you say Reb, that's, you know, to me, that's a dishonor to the man of God. So independence is worship. And so, you know, as pastors, everybody want to establish their own church. They want to be independent. We're doing this over here. They are doing this thing over there. And so everybody is doing their own independent thing. God says it's a body. We all are one body, and we all should be operating accordingly. We focus on private relationships with God and have a hard time recognizing spiritual authority and considering others as more important than ourselves. So, we've had pastors come in under the LTMA umbrella, and as a man of God, tell them things to do. And, you know, they say, well, what make him think his ministry more important than my ministry? He's in charge. He's the authority here. And so that's what makes him think his ministry more important. And so, you know, you lose spiritual authority. And when you break spiritual authority, then you're actually disobeying God when you do that. And you become disobedient. So because of that, then, you know, because of his dishonoring the apostolic government, then he basically was given his papers so he can go and do his own thing. So independence is worship in our culture today. And it shouldn't be operated. It should be a fivefold ministry gifts. And we should consider and recognize spiritual authority and sometimes consider others more important than ourselves. The result is that we are cut off from the flow of heaven when we do that. When we don't recognize spiritual authority, we're cut off from the flow of heaven. It's like, you know, you shut the valve off, you put clamps in it, the power is coming through, but it's not getting to you because the flow has been cut off. And so, again, like I say, that God has set this government up. so that flow can pour. If you think about when Moses pulled that oil on Aaron's head and they poured it down and it began to flow down. It always flows down and it continued to flow and it flowed and it flowed right on through his garment, right on down to the tail end of that garment. But when the funnel is connected and we begin to get in the flow, you will begin to see miracles, signs, and wonders. You begin to see miracles, signs, and wonders. So again, let's go over to 1 Corinthians. I don't have it in my notes, but I'm going back over there anyway so we can see it. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I begin to read verse 12 and 27. Before I read that, go to 18, 12 and 18, so you can underline, highlight it, scratch on it. Verse 18, 12 and 18. It said, "But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him." See, God said, I did it, it. You know, people say, well, why did he make him apostle and not me? Or why did he make him a prophet and not me? But God is the one who did it. He said, as it pleased him. So if it pleased God to do that for him, then it also pleases me because God did it for him. But as we read scripture and we see how God operates, if you connect to what God has did, then the same thing that's on his life can come off on my life. It's because of a connection that took place. We saw in the book of Acts when he called those, I call them my table waiters. When he called those table waiters, Philip and Stephen and Prochorus and that group, and they went out to serve tables. But the same anointing that was up on those apostles' life came up on those table waiters, and they began to do the exact same thing. So that's how God does it. He, you know, he puts their spirit in them so they can do the same work. But he gave it to one person, but they imparts it to many people. Only one person. Like, you know, you would think about Jesus. Jesus had the Holy Spirit, but he took the Holy Spirit and he sent it to all of us. So we all can operate in the same power that he operated in. He had to be the first to show us how to do it. Then once he showed us how to do it, then the Holy Spirit come to us and we can operate the exact same way. So I just wanted to show you that particular passage verse. So when someone get in and be concerned about what God has anointed someone else to do, just remember it was God who appointed that person. God is the one who set that person in that position. And so our place is to honor that position, and then we reap the benefits. He that receive a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And so he that receive an apostle in the name of an apostle shall receive an apostle's reward. So that means that whatever's on his life comes off on my life. So it says, now go to 27. It says, now you are the body of Christ and members in particular. And God, here it is again, God has set some in the church. First apostles, secondary prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, government, diversity of tongues. So he says, again, God did their setting, and they once you receive the gift, you accept the gift that God called you to be, and then you begin to operate. Yeah, he can set you. He can put you in there. He can give you these gifts. But if you never receive them and begin to operate them, I accept those gifts. Then, I'm sure they've had apostles come through this earth for him. God has so much fun. They didn't receive the gift, so they never operated in the gift. And then it just went on by, he went on and went on to eternity with the gifts and left, what God had put in them back, and took it with them. So the same thing here, we can either receive the gifts and operate in them. And, I think about over in Deuteronomy, God said, he said, I call heaven and earth as a witness that I've set before you life and death. Then he give us the answer. He said, but I tell you to choose life. He gave God give us tests, and he said, take the test, and here's the answer for the test. You know, he said, I tell you to choose life. If you choose life, then you're gonna have your victory. You're gonna have days of heaven right here on earth. So let me give you a few more pointers, and then I'll finish up this part. I'm going to read right on through it because it say when the fauna is connected and we begin to get in the flow, you will begin to see miracles, signs, and wonders. God has given us a word for this year. Came out of the man of God, a prophet of God, man of God's mouth. He heard it from heaven. Massive production. So your life, if it's not massive production, that's your word. You know, God said, my word ain't going to return to me void. You can have faith for it, or you can have fear in it that it's not going to happen to you. But if you have faith for that word that God gave unto our man of God, that it came from heaven, then in your life, in your everyday life, you're going to have massive production. You know, it's already begun. And, you know, for us who took the word and began to operate in the word. See, that's God's word. And, you know, I understand, you know, I understand scripture. It ain't gonna return to God. Said, I hasten my word. Jeremiah 1:12. He said, I hasten my word to perform it. God said, when I give you a word, I'm responsible for bringing it to pass in your life. It's not on you. God said, I'm gonna do it. All I have to do is have faith for that word that I give to you and operate accordingly. The growth, the remarkable growth that we hear at Word Life Christian Center, LTMA, Ever Increasing Word Training Center, will experience, will be a testimony to the remarkable difference people will be seeing in our environment where the fauna is connected and the people are getting in on the flow. We are getting in on the flow so we can see that massive production as we are being trained and taught how to operate in the kingdom. In this kingdom that God has set up. Again, I made the statement, like Moses pouring all over Aaron's head, God is continuously pouring life, joy, health, peace, and all the other blessings of heaven into his funnel. And so as you're pouring it out, somebody's receiving it, and he's imparting it to individuals so we can operate in it. It is a powerful experience of a wineskin that is fully capable to carry and release the outpouring that God has promised to all of us. And so that's why Jesus said, you know, many of the things that we've learned, we have to be retrained in this area. And that's why God said, you don't put new wine into old wine skins, because what's going to happen? You got the old stuff and you got the new stuff. And so then the skin going to get too big, and so now the old stuff gonna pull out and the new stuff gonna, so you're not gonna be able to hold any of it. And so we try to break up the old stuff and put in the new stuff so we can hold the new stuff and advance the kingdom. And an outpouring for which we were made, but only honor will build this wineskin and keep it intact and get us involved with what is on the inside of it. So, you know, we have to honor the gifts that God has given us, those fivefold ministry gifts. And as we honor those gifts, then we receive what they have provided for us. Amen. Father, we thank you and we praise you. We thank you, Father, that we are no longer just hearers of what you tell us to do, but we become doers of your word. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen. Thank you.